Regular meeting, Town of Monroe, Town Board, October 14th, 2014, 7 o'clock p.m.
Councilman Prendergast?
Here.
Councilwoman Leclerc?
Here.
Councilman Kuzner?
Here.
Councilman Bettendorf?
Here.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Here. Would everyone please stand and pledge allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank everyone for being here tonight. We'll go right on to the first item on the agenda, which is approval of the minutes for September 30th, two sets.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
There is an error on the first 7 minutes on page 296, but the paragraph down about this property is on Clark Road, not on Burke Road. I believe it's on Burke Road, maybe it is, it's Clark Road.
Okay. Roll call, ma'am.
Councilwoman Leclerc?
Yes.
Councilman Kuzner?
Yes.
Councilman Bettendorf?
Yes.
Councilman Prendergast?
Yes.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Yes. Second item on the agenda is setting the future meetings. I don't have any at this point myself. I don't know if anybody else has something.
Is there room on the calendar for March?
Pretty tight right now. If not, we'll go to the first 15-minute public comment period. Yes, Reed?
First, I want to commend the attendance at the library public hearing. It was great. I'm glad Todd and President and Bob had to go to it. It was pretty good. The library saw a good turnout, and hopefully a couple of questions that we've been asking, especially about NORTAC, more involvement from the communities. So that was good. But then my next question is the entrance to the property here. We've had one light that's been out from almost day one since the building's been here. I was wondering if we could improve the lighting and the entrance to the coming off of 197.
I know that should be on. All three of the parking lot lights should be working on.
They're not.
They should be on.
I don't know.
No, I'm saying on the time. They should be on. I think it was seven.
Well, one was on the other. The one that's been the problem on the west side is still not working. This wasn't like you've been. And the next question, the flagpole. How are we doing on the flagpole, Preston?
What's that?
The flagpole.
They're under order, is all I know.
They've been ordered. Schedule. And Mr. Rittengill, is the beach building, beach Sandbar Beach building on Flag Show, or is that still waiting?
We're still waiting. Actually, it's, I don't know if you've been down there, but the village side is coming right along nicely, expanding the parking lot. They're putting cookers in. They're going to have a pavilion in there, a gazebo.
Okay.
So on our side, the fence in, we've got plans to upgrade that building, hopefully a couple pavilions put in there. And they've got an engineer coming in that's going to, we're trying to set it up to come up with a simple plan and hopefully do it all in-house and have it in place by next year.
Who's they for the engineer?
Well, it's a, Sandy has a contact that's an engineer with a firm. I don't want to release the name yet because he hasn't totally committed.
But who's Sandy?
Sandy's our part-time rec person.
Okay.
Sandy Mahoney. And she has some of the tradespeople willing to help also. So that's all in the works right now.
And will that be in the discussed at budget time so that it'll be in the 2015 budget? Or
No, we're looking at to be able to get this done without affecting the budget.
Ooh. Okay.
You know, free labor.
That's good.
Some free materials.
But there are some funds that it would be part of capital project.
Capital project if we need to buy some funds, but we're trying to get this done as economically as possible.
Sure, I understand. That's great.
Thank you. Anybody else? If not, we could go to agenda item number 3. Terry Clark has information for us.
Hey, thanks for having me here. A little disappointed.
right up to the sheriff here. I didn't have him speaking, but at the same point, he's been done there, right?
Do you guys know what this is?
Mr. Vittingill, you're being rude. You're on your phone.
No.
Pay attention. Thank you. Do you know what that is?
No, I have no idea.
That is what goes inside your pipe. Okay. That's a steel sleeve. How long is that?
I'm not here for show and tell.
How long is it?
I'm not going to answer.
It's two and a quarter.
I'm here for show and tell.
Actually, 2 3/8.
I was going to say it's
2 3/8.
Yeah. Okay. Almost 2 1/2.
And I know you guys are all intelligent.
2 3/8, right?
Looks about right.
Okay. This is what was in here.
Okay.
Sorry. Do you know how to read tape? Okay. So, this is what was in my pipe, in the plastic pipe that comes into your foundation. This is what wasn't in English Village's pipe, it was 2 inch diameter, so 1 1/2 inch. Because they had a water main blower in English Village, I'm sure you guys all know about that. Okay? Filled the cellar till it came out the cellar windows. Can you believe it? I couldn't when I talked to the guy Joe over there. So, anyways, I have some pictures here. Just to confirm, that's an anchor. You see that right there? That's an anchor. That's what's in my cellar. There's a picture of the existing one. Okay? You guys want to take a look? Oops, sorry. I don't think this would be. This is pretty work. There's the anchor. Okay, are you guys all with me? Same as what's in there. Side by side, actually. Yeah. You guys want to see those two? Same anchor next to the one in my cellar. I did not put it in, the contractor did. Who was that contractor?
Casale.
Oh, Casale Excavating. Thank you, Todd. If you go online, there's not a lot of good things about Casale Excavating online. Just so you know. Now, there's right now, the way this sits in my house, okay, there's the new one. There's where it sits. Too bad Jesse Fish isn't here to confirm that we just flipped that 180 degrees. See that right there? There's the hole that was over here. Okay? Are we all with me? Mm-hmm.
Just want to make sure you guys know where you're up against. Okay? We flipped it 180 degrees. Just for the hell of it, let's take this thing here, mark a little thing here. We'll mark it over here because this is where it was anchored.
We'll put a little line right here, roughly in the center of that. Okay, now let's flip that. Let's flip that. All right, let's do it so it's like this. Okay, oops. Okay, so there's that. This is where it was. This is where it is. Let's mark that. Let's measure that. Are you guys all with me? I don't want to lose anybody. Are you all with me? Todd?
I'm with you.
You with me? Okay, watch this. Let's just start here so we get an accurate measure. Oh, 2 inches. 2 inches throughout. So the sleeve is 2 1/4. We pushed it back on the pipe. 2 inches. Can you believe that? It was only on the plastic pipe by 1/4 inch. Are you all with me? This is pretty simple. It's kindergarten stuff, really. Are you guys all with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you're fighting me. I'm not getting any cooperation from you guys.
I'm
right?
Listening. I'm learning. You're teaching me.
Okay. All right. There it is after Terry Clark fixed it when Jesse was there. This here has a... That's basically for a wire, I've been told, for grounding wire. Let's see how tight that is. Jeez, what's wrong with that picture? There's your hanger right there. I tried to prove to you guys. Okay, that's before it was flipped. See, we're 2 inches out. We really are 2 inches out. I already gave you guys some pictures. This thing's been going on 6 months. I've been fighting this. I got better things to come over here every other Tuesday night. But I can make the appointment. I love it. And then I get a notice Saturday, registered mail for my 250, what is it, 250H hearing, whatever the hell it is? 50H. So we want to waste money to prove that you guys are wrong because you hired Casale Excavating, right? So we're going to waste taxpayers' money because you're going to prove a point. Well, I'm going to prove a point because I'm fighting back. It's my house. This contractor came in and raped everybody in town. You guys won't admit to it. You know there's problems. There's more than what I know, and I haven't talked to everybody in the town, but I will. I'll go up and down every street. Okay? A lot of people aren't happy. You got to wake up and smell the coffee here. There it is right there with the water still in the basement. See how we flipped it? It wasn't on all the way. See that? There's another one. I don't know how fast you guys are picking this stuff up, but... Okay, there it is. Do you really want to fight me? Why aren't we working together to wipe the contractor who screwed this town over? And why did the people over to the miner's man from Joe, the guy that's the caretaker, tells me that the people living there had to use their insurance to cover the cost of the... And the Castell came up and told a $500 deductible to every one of them. Maybe I'm wrong. That's what Joe told me. Where is that fair to them people? Because my insurance is going to go up. And my insurance thing is going to go up. I'll fight you. You want to keep going? We'll fight. I don't have a problem going to the Supreme Court. Been there. Any other picture you guys like to see? Do you get where I'm coming from? Jesse was there, admitted the pipe was loose. And then I got to put up with this nonsense. Because you know what happened after the luncheon the other day that we interrupted you guys at? This is 80 complaints, by the way, from the taxpayers. One guy on Fire Falls Road, he had a $2,000 deductible. He had to pay out of one pocket because they screwed his wallet. But you guys are not standing behind the taxpayers. You really should be. You should be going after the South. But nobody seems to be doing that. Now, here's what the insurance company says. Castell's insurance. You want me to read the whole thing or just part of it? You tell me.
You better read part of it because you only got 10 minutes.
Well, yeah, I had the sheriff here take me out because you don't want to hear the truth.
No, we got a meeting to run. You got 10 minutes.
It doesn't matter. I'm an expert. I have my say. I want to say what I said. Based on our investigation, it is alleged that our insurer did not properly tighten the union on a water line, causing water damage to the claimant's property or premises. Our insurer, that would be Castell, who we know is a big screw-up, advises that the town's engineer inspected all connections prior to the signing off. So he's putting the blame on the town's engineer. Would that be Tim Burley? Or would that be Tom Flaherty?
I don't know who he's referring to.
I'd like to know who was responsible.
I'm sure Burley did to do it, so I don't know.
But whose job is it to go back and inspect and say it's okay? Whose job was it? Can I get that answer out of somebody here? You're being very rude by doing all that stuff instead of paying attention to the...
No, I'm reading this right here. Seidel Claim Service.
Okay.
Okay. That's about you, right?
Oh, you already have it. Wow.
I'm paying attention.
Okay. Well, I'm getting disgusted. I can't find anything out. I have to foil everything. There's no voluntary information, but when I got to go one of these 850 hearings, I have to spill my guts. Okay? Not fair.
Well, they're public records, and that's the law you're ruled by.
Well, I'm just telling the people what they're up against, because I'm going to tell you right now, what is it, 3/8 of an inch that was on my pipe? You're going to have more happening down the road. You better go back and inspect everybody's house, everybody's that he worked in. Can you see that pipe was not on there all the way? I would have never guessed it. You got x-ray vision? Because all I keep hearing from you is the town can't afford it. You better afford it because you're going to have a problem down the road. I'm setting a precedent right now because somebody's going to pay for this. All right? So it says, our insured also advises if the connections were not tightened properly, there would have been issues long ago, not 2 years after the completion of the project. Our insured states that the connections can become loose if someone is tampering with them or hits them with something. How often do you go in your basement? I never go in my basement. Okay? We can see where they mounted it. I didn't put the holes in there. To this day, there's only one hole. I've never drilled the second hole where we flipped it because this is a lawsuit, and I'm not changing that. But you guys want to fight it, let's go for it. I don't have a problem. I just get sick and tired. And I'm going to go, the next step is newspaper. It's going to be the newspaper. We're going to have people come here. We're going to find out what's going on in this town. This contractor came in and raped us with our clothes on. And you guys allowed it. You knew this shit was happening. You should have stopped it. You should have put a stop to him. I don't care if he's low bidder or not. You should have stopped him from doing more work when he saw it was half-assed. I heard pipes were going crosswise across electrical panel boxes. They weren't straight. They weren't plumb. And you guys allowed it.
We didn't allow it happened without us knowing, and Tom...
That's why you got your inspector.
His, Tom Flaherty went in and inspected each of those properties if there were problems with it.
Right, how many were there?
Off the top of my head, I can't tell you.
But I'm getting no cooperation, see what I'm saying? You want me to spill my guts, tell everything? Let's just go to the Supreme Court. I don't know why it's so hard. Let's get this judge to make this decision. It's pretty simple with pictures. You can come in and destroy my house. My insurance is not covering it, I can tell you that. I will stay here. I'll be here every Tuesday night to have a meeting. I'll get my 5 minutes in. I'll get my money's worth.
Have we had other issues like the one alluded to here? I'm not aware.
Well, Larry Sweet, you know Larry.
I'm trying to get an answer.
Okay, sorry.
We had some early in the construction project. A lot of those things got fixed. It was always there.
And so is that the one that thing was village? Is that something that happened that we're aware of?
I think they were doing that. And then to top it all off, I wouldn't believe the guy went to Noble Cleveland and was stole a $2 part. The sales employee. Can you believe that? $2 part and stole it from Noble. I want to know, is that guy allowed in my house, this known thief? He didn't press charges. But I got to know, is he allowed in my house? You know what, I'm going to tell you something. They cut out a piece of copper about 4 feet long. Should have stayed next to my pump. You know where it was? I'll have my house by the back door. Where did everybody's copper go that left the premises? That's what I'm saying. You guys hired this thief? I don't care if, you know what, you find somebody who's having a job right, shut them down. And you guys, nobody's come to me and said, what's the problem? Let's take a look at this in depth. It's quite terrible. Is this insurance going to pay it? I have a $9,000 check sitting home. I refuse to cash it. I will never cash it. Because my insurance isn't paying for it. To sell or the town road. I just can't wait. Supreme Court, here we come. Because that's where it's going to go. And I don't have a problem with it. You guys are creating a big problem in this town by not taking care of things. You're hiding things. You're covering things up. You know you are. Now, Gina, I know your husband. He is a professional at what he does. I can tell you that. I know him very well. Nobody can do what he does. They have a hard time training people that do what he does. Okay? Same with me. I'm not the best. But you know what? All the years I've been in business, never had anything go against me. Because you know what? I take pride in what I do. Those guys had no pride. All right? But I can tell you what, you know, like I say about your husband. Super what he does. It's hard to do what he does. And I think they're finding out where he works. You don't find a guy like that to do what he does.
Yeah, 1 minute left.
You know, that's kind of rude, really. Do you get my point? Do you see where I'm coming from?
You know very well what being rude is. You're that way all the time.
You bet your ass, because you guys vandalized my house by allowing a contractor to come in there and do it. And you don't stand up for the taxpayers, who I've paid my taxes. I don't know if anybody on the board here hasn't paid theirs yet. I don't know. I pay mine. You paid yours?
Yeah, I paid.
You paid yours? You paid yours? No. You paid yours? You paid yours. There you go. Case solved. Pay your taxes. Tom needs the money. You can be mad at me. You guys come down on me hard after this. I don't give a shit. It's not right what you're doing to the taxpayers. You know you got problems. Larry's sweet. He's got two overhead doors in that building. You come on one day, water's going out the door. Right out the back of the doors. Can you believe it? They were still working on the line. You didn't go get them, have them fix it. There's three cases. Okay? So really, I think twice. I got proof it wasn't on all the way. It wasn't loose. It wasn't on all the way. And I assume, I'm not a plumber, but I work on hydraulics. We know that because I was accused of stealing a cylinder one time, remember? 1978.
I don't remember.
You were there. Come on, you know.
It doesn't
you know.
Consume my life, Jerry.
Yeah. Really?
Really?
You were there. You accused me of stealing a cylinder. But anyways, don't keep looking at your watch. That's rude.
Yeah.
But anyways.
10 minutes is up.
I think I know a little bit about plumbing and stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So you really ought to look twice. The whole town. You better go back to everybody's house. You better shut everybody's water down. And you better take their plumbing fittings apart at that connection. And you better make sure they're on all the way.
Okay. Your time is up.
Now I want to know what you're going to do about it.
Thank you.
I would like an answer.
I can tell you right now that our building department will be doing inspections.
Are they qualified? Are they certified plumbers?
They don't have to be certified.
Really? Neither do the sales guys.
First of all, they're the ones that are qualified to do inspections, any inspection inside.
Okay.
That's their job.
Yep.
Okay? Thank you.
Yep.
Clarification. We are building the permit and inspecting them?
Are we doing that for everybody?
We'll be doing the inspection.
Oh, okay.
All right, what if you find something wrong? You're going to fix it, you're just going to let it go?
In January, February, March, when they have time, basically.
Oh, that's, so it's not an important thing. Now, when they find a problem, are they going to fix it?
Your time is up.
Are they going to fix it when they have a problem?
Agenda item number 4, Recreation Department request.
Wow.
First item is discussion of the fencing around the playground at the quad. That will be done in the spring now. They're going to widen, open up the area more behind it, get rid of some of the trees and brush behind it. And that will be done in the spring before softball starts.
Yeah, when Tim asked me to meet him down there at the park. And, you know, he explained not only the work, but the plan. You know, why it's going to be done, how it's going to be done. You know, and it makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
Second item, Tim, maintenance director, is he's asking for a pavilion fee of $20 for 3 hours and $35 for up to three hours or more. Basically, his feeling is that many people that are reserving as residents, ultimately, there's actually nobody there that is a resident, and I feel that we do have a cost in preparing those places, and so I think that we ought to consider doing that. I don't know if anybody have any comments on that.
I agree.
Well, the issue is out-of-towners using pavilions. Why are we penalizing the taxpayers in the town of Monroe?
It's the taxpayers in the town of Monroe that make the reservation and then allow their relatives from out-of-town to come in and use the pavilion when they're not even there. That the staff has gone over and say I reserved something. They've come over looking for me because I'm the one that signed out the pavilion. And when they get there, I'm not there. Is that not correct? That's what's happening?
No, that's correct. We actually had a couple today that wanted to run up the pavilion looking at next year for our bachelorette party. And the two ladies talking there and saying, you know, how do we go about it? We said, you know, you have to go over here and, you know, go through everything. And one lady goes, well, how much is it? And I said, are you a town resident? And she goes, no. She goes, oh, that's right. We'll have to rent it under you, meaning her friend, because if she rents it, who is actually the best truck party, then she'll have to pay. But because her friend's there, then, of course, they get it for free. So they're bringing, and we find it all the time, they use a person from the town of Monroe that they know, obviously, friend, family, or something. If something goes wrong, you go back and ask, you know, that person that rented that pavilion, and then they're not there. There's always an excuse because they're using people from the town that they know to get the pavilions for free. And she's right. There's a, you know, we do go in and we do clean those pavilions every morning. Like we blow them out and we take, you know, staples, nails, anything out of the tables that, you know, people put the tablecloths on or anything like that. So we do, you know, we do some, you know, maintenance for each pavilion before the people come in to make sure that they're, you know, nice and neat for the next round.
Well, we have more staff than we've ever had in my tenure on the board at REC. And, you know, if it is an issue of people signing up to rent the pavilions, but they have no intention of being there, why isn't staff verifying that somebody in the party that's using the pavilion at the appointed hour isn't there?
I mean, all the verification process goes through the town here. The only time we will approach a pavilion is if there's a problem. That's the only time we'll approach a pavilion. I mean, you know, right now we generally work 2 people a day. I work in the morning, Mike comes in at night, Bruce works in the morning, someone comes in at night. I mean, so we definitely don't have the staff now. But with so many projects going on, everything that we've been involved in, we definitely can't police every pavilion, you know, to...
Well, I'm not saying police it. I'm saying that at some point, somebody strolls over there from rec staff and finds out who rented it, I mean, there's no reason why, what, to go to the clerk or we fill out? The clerk can't provide a weekly list of...
And they do. Well, what happens if I go up and say, you know, where is this person? Well, they have to go here, they'll be back, they want to do this, they'll be back. I mean, what am I supposed to do if that person isn't there?
And call you when they get back.
So they make a phone call to the person that's on the road, the person that's on the road calls me and says, you know what I mean? I'm not sure what we're supposed to do with that person not there. I mean, kick everybody out? You know what I mean?
Well, I understand your position.
Right.
I strongly disagree with it. I don't think that town Moreau should be, you know, basically it's a tax. It's a user fee.
I mean, I wouldn't buy them, bro. I would happily pay.
I mean, you would, but you would, and others may. But I can tell you that there's a lot of people that would be very unhappy if they had to do it. As a taxpayer who pays their taxes in this community, I mean, I sit up here, I do everything I can to make sure that the tax impact on our residents is minimal or goes down. And have never supported a new user fee on our residents because we're getting it from the taxes. So this is, I understand where you're coming from. I don't support it, and I wouldn't support a user fee.
Would you consider a deposit?
Well, that's one way to probably reach common ground to require a refundable deposit on the part of anybody who reserves a pavilion. But there still has to be verification that they were there, and they'll get their money back if someone proves that whoever rented the pavilion was there.
Yeah, if they're not, at least put some onus.
But that makes it a little more complicated, too. Yeah. So, you know, I think the easiest way is not to go with town user.
Is there already a deposit? Was there at one point?
There was.
When did that go away? Because I remember very clearly having this exact same conversation with Mr. Mitchell and I sat on the rec commission, and the entire rec commission was completely against having town residents pay because, like you said, we pay already in taxes. It's kind of like the whole thing, like the town residents pay our taxes and that takes care of the rec staff, so why do people have to go in the springtime and help clean up the fields if that's going to pay for a rec staff? More of the same kind of idea. When did the deposit go away?
It's been a couple of years, I can say.
I think what we did was it was a deposit so that if you left the place a mess, you didn't get it back. Mm-hmm. And it got to a point where you were writing so many checks back and forth, and most people were taking care of it. It was a lot of time, and it wasn't worth doing. And that was
so you got rid of it just because it
primarily
was
the clerk asked us to remove it. And I don't remember exactly when it was, but a couple of years ago.
So was it taken away just because it was inconvenient?
It was taken away.
But maybe do you think that maybe you were writing the checks because people were like, hey, I want my money back, so they were taking care of it. So now you've done away with it, and now maybe there seems to be problems because that's gone. Perhaps that's what was keeping people honest. You might want to look at bringing it back, because maybe that's what was keeping people honest and making them take care of our park.
It isn't a matter of taking care of it. It's a matter of who's using it and who's renting it. If we did I don't know how, Pete, if it would work, or instead of involving the money, if we did some sort of a sign-in that I'm here for the pavilion and I'm the one that rented it, that if you had copies of the contracts and I signed that I'm the one renting it and those were available that day, that they had to sign again that I am the one here to use it, that...
Check in.
But I know a lot of times on Saturdays, all the ball fields are busy and they're flipping fields and that. So sometimes it's having the staff available to focus on that because this pavilion is rented at 1 and it's going to be here till 3. That would get hectic too because they all want to sign in at the same time.
How did you arrive at the $25 recommendation?
I didn't. That was Timmy. Timmy, do you know his thoughts on that?
How it came up to 25 versus 35.
I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, I don't want to charge too much, but I definitely want to get something, I guess. I mean, I'm not really sure amount-wise why maybe one of the board members know. I mean,
I think he priced what other communities charged and how they handled it. And
yeah.
and I think he was below anybody else's, but was still trying to address an issue that he felt was ongoing and wasn't occasional, it was ongoing.
Because you want to quite a few different places that do this, and everybody charges.
Let's either act on it or not act on it, one or the other.
Well, what disturbs me is, once again, we want to change a policy that benefits the taxpayers, because there are people out there that will probably try and take advantage. And they probably have tried to take advantage, or have. But I'm not in favor of changing this policy because of those people.
Okay, let's table it.
Before we move on, can we request that Pete and Tim discuss it and see if there's someone that they feel that they register you when you get there, that they get your pavilion, if there's a way that we could do that, maybe that would help discourage.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like, yeah.
I don't mind two or three forms of ID picture. I mean,
something to prove, okay, I am here, I'm the one that the benefit.
But I mean, as you know, we go everywhere. I mean, we're here today, we're at the annex, we're at the beach, we're at Noling Road. We're not necessarily even in the park when a person that scheduled a pavilion for noon doesn't show up till 1, might come in at 11. You know what I mean? There's no rhyme or reason to show up at all.
Well, so I mean, it's a problem, and that there should be a policy on if you reserve it for this hour, you know, that's your hour. I mean, if they're not there...
Right, but what I'm saying is, as far as us, though, do we leave what we're doing somewhere else? Do I leave the beach to be at the park for 1 o'clock?
There should be somebody at the park at all times. Well, in case there's an emergency within the park.
No,
I mean,
Pete,
we have always had that discussion. I don't know when... If there is not, that's something that's happened, I'm not aware of. I mean, because we have the public there. At a minimum, we have to have somebody there they can reach if there's a problem. That's why, you know, this board...
Which they definitely can. I carry a cell phone every day.
Right, but they should be on park property.
What's that?
There should be somebody working with Don Moreau on park property there.
Pete, now those pavilions get used a ton. Have we had it? I've been there a lot. I've never seen any issues. Have we had any issues there with garbage left behind or destroying a pavilion or?
No.
Not in the past couple years.
I mean, I lived on some tables, so I've only seen this year. But no, I mean.
So the system's kind of working okay.
Pretty good. I mean, but some people leave stuff out.
Other than the fact that people taking advantage of us, we have to kind of police that somehow.
Right.
Come up with some sort of way.
The only people taking advantage are the people that say, "Hey, my aunt lives in the town of Rome. I'm going to call her up. We're going to rent a pavilion for Saturday."
Mm-hmm.
And then your aunt isn't going to go there. She's not going to be.
But I mean, people from Rome use other rec facilities too, whether it's here or there or whatever. So there's kind of a trade off between all the communities.
Isn't there a form they fill out when they want to? Does it just say on there that somebody from the person running it has to be from the town, that person has to be? Does that say that on the form?
It has the fees on the form. It states that if you're a town resident, there are no fees.
No, does it say that the town resident.
Must
be at the event.
No, I don't believe it.
Well, could we put that
it's
on there
and
have them sign it or something?
Yeah.
Is that way they know?
It gives you the prerogative. Maybe some weekends you're really crazy with tournaments and something's going on, you don't make it over. But sometimes people just knowing, hey, you could be over there to see, is the person that signed this out available?
So I guess my next question now is, when do we determine that? If that person's not available, what do I do? Do I throw our Tom Monroe texture out of the pavilion because she's not there? Do we let them go and it'll just be a common occurrence? I mean, what do you do once, what do you do once we determine she's not there, she's not going to be there? Do you let them stay?
You could just add that to your agreement, saying unauthorized people or no town residents there, there might be some.
I'm just asking. I mean, you're the one
against it. I have no problem establishing a penalty for unauthorized use of a pavilion.
A penalty? Or fine. I mean, what do you do? What do they do if you have your van set
well,
up?
Well, that's what going to the previous comment having a deposit that's higher than whatever it's cost for there's ways. I mean, I'm the...
So if they get a deposit, do you make them leave?
Well, make them pay.
A deposit, do they stay there for their 4 hours anyway and you keep their deposit?
Well, I think if they're not abiding by the rules of the permit, have. I mean, we have the authority to fix it.
So maybe.
Yeah, but it has to be on, I don't know what our permit looks like, but I mean, it has to be spelled out at the time.
I mean, I know it's a gray area both ways. I understand where everybody comes from.
I feel that
Jimmy's trying to raise revenues for the park.
We raise plenty of revenues in this town for our recreational facilities.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Plenty. We don't need to be nickel and dime taxpayers, but more my view. But I think on the permit, it's a good idea that we state that whoever is requesting the permit must be at the event for the duration.
So update our
rate. I think that would be the way.
And if not, they'd pay the out-of-town fee.
Correct.
Double or whatever.
Correct. Yeah. I don't know.
I know that you're just looking for a better way to.
Well, we want to make it fair.
I mean, sure,
happens when you have an out-of-towner, that's a spot that some resident who pays taxes doesn't have access for that time period.
Right.
Okay. While we do that, let's move on. The next request is cancellation of tournaments. Usually what happens if there's a tournament, we refund. If they cancel, we refund it. Tim would like to say that one of the things that happens is somebody will schedule two tournaments to lock dates up and then cancel them at the last minute and eliminate the use of the fields for tournament. So he's just asking that we would only refund 50% on cancellations. The only thing I would do to that, I would think that that if they don't cancel, would it be 30 days before the tournament that they forfeit it? Because I don't think, you know, if somebody cancels 30 days ahead, you got enough time maybe to put it out again.
That's a good idea.
I agree with that.
So, and in addition to that, he wants to limit the tournament, a single tournament, to 44 games, which is basically what we normally do, 44 games.
Correct.
If there's extra games, then they would pay the field fee for those. So if everybody's comfortable with that, so I would take a motion on this.
I'll make a motion for that.
Second. Roll call, Leanne.
Councilman Kuzniers?
Yes.
Councilman Pittengill?
Yes.
Councilman Prendergast?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Yes. The last item we had was asking for a policy for cancellation of individual games. He would like to have a cancellation policy 24 hours in advance. We would like to be printed on the field use request form. I don't think he's not looking for any charge, and obviously rainouts and hazardous conditions would apply, but he just wants to at least let people give us notice 24 hours so we don't prepare the fields to be used and go through the labor cost of doing that. So I don't think that's unreasonable. It's just a matter of adding that to the I don't know that.
I don't have any problem.
No, we can do it. I'll make the motion to approve.
Second.
Roll call again.
Councilman Pittengill?
Yes.
Councilman Prendergast?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Kuzniers?
Yes.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Yes. Highway Department request. We already accepted a bid from Cranesville for the price of sand two weeks ago. And Paul is asking for $8,700 for the purchase of winter sand from Cranesville on purchase order. This would come out of account DB5142.490 with a balance of
$8,759.93. So moved.
Second.
Roll call,
Leanne. Councilman Prendergast?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Kuzniers?
Yes.
Councilman Pittengill?
Yes.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Yes. Agenda item 6, no request. Agenda item 7, discussion regarding funds paid to Ideal Move from Capital Fund. Basically what happened was about a month ago, I was reading some information and felt that what we did was improper there, that it didn't qualify as a capital improvement. Carla basically checked out the controller's office. They gave her some information. She went out to do research. And it's pretty clear that even a repair it does not qualify unless it's a major capital repair. So that her position is that this expense may not constitute construction or reconstruction or acquisition. If the expense paid out of the general fund, that would have been best to avoid issues down the road. So her recommendation is that we transfer it from the expense of the general fund and put that minor revenue sort of moving back into the capital project fund. We would act on this for the next meeting. We've got some time to think it over.
I just had a couple questions. We were essentially given the authority by the voters to spend a fixed amount on construction. Would this be part of that overall expenditure, or would it be in addition to the cost of what the voters approved?
Well, first of all, we never had the amount the voters approved into that. Capital reserve to start with. It's short, about $16,000, because we didn't have that to move in between what we put in the maintenance reserve for the landfill and what we put into the highway construction capital project. I don't have the exact number. It was about $587,000, which actually includes some interest too. So it was short about. I think it might have been short almost $30,000. So we never have put in $2.6 million. And this certainly was just putting it back where it came from, and it can be used for the flags or whatever we want to use it for, the flag poles or whatever. But there's no way that qualifies as a capital improvement any more than it's really not part of construction.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have an expenditure of building facility.
I don't disagree. I just say what capital projects is. We don't have to act that tonight because I don't even have the amount.
Is this the transfer? Is this the transfer for tonight?
No, that's not it.
This is a different one?
That's a different one.
Okay. Right.
No, there's no transfer in here for that. I just wanted everybody to have a chance. And in the next meeting, we'll take a look at moving it or not, moving it by vote. Agenda item number 8 is maintenance of the town hall generator. We had the same situation that we had to do this highway. It's an annual inspection that comes in and does replacement parts and issues. And Milton Cat Service, who sold it, did the original installation. And they agreed the price that they do it for is $590.
Is this something that we can participate in the first go around, and then we can have staff? We have someone that pay to work.
I think it's possible, but I know Highway had them fix theirs too. There are a few problems that had to be done, so I don't know. I think that's something we can consider, but this is the first inspection, I think.
Does it void the warranty if they don't do it or something?
Well, Paul found that the first one they did, they found like 6 or 8 items that they had to correct. So he recommended the first time they do it. And then down the road, if we want to do the servicing with our own mechanic, we can. But the first one, you catch things that are out of sync.
Will we have like somebody in my way with them when they're working out?
I think that would make sense.
Okay.
So you want to make the motion?
I'd make the motion to have Milton do this first service. And our tech can follow through and see how they do it.
Second.
Roll call in the air.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Cousineers?
Yes.
Councilman Bittengill?
Yes.
Councilman Prendergast?
Yes.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Yes. Then item number 9 is a discussion regarding the pump park at Recreation Park. Bob Bittengill, I think, provided everybody with some information on it. Bob, would you like to?
Sure. Basically, these pump parks are getting very popular in city parks around the country. What they are basically like a skateboard park for BMX bikes and mountain bikes. Only it's soft material, it's dirt, so there's very little safety issues there. They're not scary, they're not dangerous. We talked about it before, and what I ended up doing is getting online and getting a track that is recommended to start off with. The design's in here, and all the specs, and you can see it doesn't go over 2 feet high and a foot low in the gullies. And it's to do like a roller coaster. When you're on the bike, You go into the turn, you get a little centrifugal force, so you go around this track without pedaling. And the demographics, like the kids 12 to 16, love them, but you end up getting some smaller kids there, some adults in there. And there's an area between the two basketball courts that was kind of cleared out last year where it could be put in. We could use Votech to do it, hopefully when they're done with their other projects this fall, using all materials on site. And we can build it, and then I would recommend having our engineer just check it to the specifications of the design here. Try it, see how it works. If it doesn't work out, you can always level it back down. But it would be a new feature in the park to give it a different dimension, make it, I think, very popular at minimal cost.
Yeah, I think it's I think it's a great idea because there's minimal costs involved. I think you get a huge bang for your buck with it. I know when I was on the right committee, we had talked about it. I thought it was a good idea then. I think if we can get BOCES to help us out with it. The only question I have is, does the rec committee know where they want to put it or where they're looking at?
Well, there's an area that exceeds these dimensions behind the pavilions and the two basketball courts. It's all cleared out already.
It's all going
there. It could go in there without disturbing anything. If it didn't work out, you have a place to put another picnic pavilion.
You have to bring in clay for the mountains? Or?
A little bit of clay mixed in would be perfect. We know where we can get some of that.
When I look at these, the kids all have helmets on. Will we have some?
They recommend helmets. And it's a good thing to get in the habit of wearing a helmet when you're always on a bike. It's just part of that.
Law.
Yeah, certain ages.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of the liability on it, to be honest. I know we have kids jumping off the little hill there at fun days. A boy broke his leg because he flipped his bike wrong and across the town. It was under $1,000, close to $1,000.
Yeah, we just, as part of the park rules for that section, we have to wear
a helmet.
Knee pad, double pad, chin. Full body armor.
Full body armor.
Yep.
Good.
Is it? There's also a major poison ivy issue, and I think the area you're talking about, like major.
So when the excavator's in, we can take care of that.
It's blanketed. It's not a little bit.
Okay.
Everybody fine with that? I think we can move ahead. I don't think we need to act on it. We're not spending any money yet. So.
Okay.
Agenda number 10, discussion regarding Saratoga Economic Development Corporation contract along with SEDC. Actually, there's really hardly have any change. Did you over here a couple of months?
No. I
think, basically after reading the contract and after having explanations of the contract, the only real commitment that's made right now is of actually approving SEDC as a representative to handle transactions, etc. There's no other thing in here that's an agreement to actually doing the recombining the lots. That would be a separate arrangement if we go to that point. And I know they have some interest in that. And I had an email or voicemail from them today that they're hoping to act on this. They're all prepared to sign with, so everybody, all the other two parties. And, I really think they have some activity that we need to deal with. So I think it may be a strong step in the right direction. They seem very anxious to get done. And that can help bring something additional to our industrial park, our technical park. So all we would need is a motion from this board to authorize me to sign the contract, which is finalized by our attorney.
I'd make that motion.
We'll call me in.
Was there a second?
Oh,
I thought
you did.
No.
Okay. You have some questions?
Well, yeah, but I thought maybe I'd have a motion in a second.
Okay, second.
I guess really for the attorney, does this agreement shall remain in full force and effect for a period of 5 years unless earlier terminated by mutual agreement of all parties here, too. That means all parties have to agree
right.
To terminate.
Yes.
If the town didn't like it, we can't terminate on our own.
That's how it's written now, right?
Yeah, but we had that discussion. Thought it wouldn't have been a about the changes that either party determined. Did that change?
I can add that in if that's what the board desires.
I think we should have that option.
I don't know if I've ever seen the town go into a contract without the option of being able to.
Generally, we have a clause in there that the town can terminate on convenience.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm happy to put that in if that's what the board desires.
Okay. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay. And one other question I got. I don't want to read the whole paragraph, but maybe I can just ask a question. If the potential buyer was something that we might be concerned with as far as the business itself,
mm-hmm.
You know, what do we have any recourse?
They don't come in unless we allow them.
All parties have to agree.
Okay. That's all I have.
I want to make that change.
Okay, you're ready? Leanne, can I have a roll call, please?
Councilman Cousinier?
Yes, with those changes.
Right.
Councilman Pettengill?
Yes.
Councilman Prendergast?
Yes.
Councilwoman LaFleur?
Yes.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Yes. Item number 11, discussion update regarding status of possible violations of home business. I think everybody got a copy of this report of business locations for residential homes. A week ago I had 10 they hadn't looked at, and now, according to this, they've dealt with them all. There's two that are under review. One is in-home computer services on Tanglewood Drive. They have some things that they would have to do. And Helen McEntee on 29 Michael Road is under review. Several of them are in the village, several are in an area where it's allowed already, some are under special permits, but there's only under just 28, there's 26 and 27 that are under review now and looking to either whatever has to happen will happen. Actually, the building department did a lot of work on getting to this point to answer the question. And they're following up with these two that are under review. And if there's any others that we become aware of that are doing business, they'll do the same. So if anybody got any questions?
Are we responding to unemployed requests within the time frame under the law? I think we got another one today. Seems like they've been coming in on a regular basis. Maybe Leanne knows.
The one today, I know that I spoke to Jeannie about, mm-hmm. So I don't know.
Weren't there some other ones along the zoning issue?
All of them are being complied with as far as I'm aware.
Right. My question was
within the 5 days.
Right there.
You're going to have to wait to the public session, okay? And you can speak.
It was about what you were talking about. As far as you said, running business out of your own home, is that what you're trying to vote on, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, or what is the vote on running your own business?
There is no vote on it. We have.
Because I would ask the members here to please really review what type of business that they want to open up in their home and what they're doing. We can't always rely on the code enforcement to go around and make sure that these are legit businesses that are not going to cause health issues to the adjacent landowner. Because I did have a neighbor move in that started his own business in the backyard without permission from the town, which when I came to our code enforcement, he minimized the problem. But when I called DEC in, they were devastated because they shut him down. It was considered a quality air control where me and my family were being so sick by the smell of the spraying chemicals in his backyard. I trusted the code enforcement to do right, so I kind of like to say make sure whatever businesses that they're applying for, doesn't cause health issues.
Okay, thank you.
And I also would like to speak at the next opening, please.
Okay, item 12, discussion of proposed local law 2, 2014, related to fowl or poultry. This is no attempt at this point to throw anything at anybody tonight. What this is for is to take it home, and this is just one proposal of what the law might be, and we'd be looking for other input. And so I'm not prepared to schedule a public hearing until everybody's had a chance to go through it, consider what they would like to have different or whatever, and if we can come up with something that we're willing to go on at least look at. That's all it's here for. And if you...
Well, I think we have a little ways to go before we get it to the public.
I do too. Yeah.
On that note, I had hoped to go and visit, I'm sorry, if I have the names again, you know, Tom's home where they have the bin. And you have a composter, correct, that you put the droppings in? I'd like to come and even just learn something about that, because if we're allowing people on very small lots to do this, you seem to have a solution so it doesn't smell 50 feet or 25 feet from where the chickens are. That I think that's an important thing to consider, because if it is a small lot and people aren't conscientious like you and don't have a composter, that could be disastrous for the people surrounding that small lot. So if at some point, I've been gone for 2 weeks, if I can definitely come by and explain how that works to me, but that's an important thing to consider. Thank you.
I just had, there is one section there that talks about a setback, which is 500 feet. I don't know about zoning, but aren't there some residences, R1 and R2, that don't have 500 foot? So.
The setback is 500 feet is the neighbor's notification, yeah.
So there's more extent.
No, there's setbacks, but it's whatever setback is in the R1 and R2 district.
Oh,
correct.
Okay, agenda item 13, transfer of funds. Asking to transfer $20,000 from contingent account A1990.4 to General Buildings Municipal Center to install 4 drywells and resolve the drainage problem and widen the entrance to driveway. This work would be done by highway. And it would eliminate the real bad problem we had in the spring because of the frost in the ground, and would widen the driveway so there would be 3 lanes. There would be a left turn lane and a right turn lane and an entrance lane. It's all been approved by DOH to go ahead. This is the estimate for the materials to purchase, and we need to transfer that from contingent account to general buildings account.
Paul's going to do this for us?
Yes.
The only thing I request for this is if there's, I don't even know how, but there's some way to designate where that driveway is. I know I still have people say to me what a difficult time they have not missing the driveway, because there's our driveway, the sheriff's driveway, and the fire department, one after the other. I don't know how. I don't have a suggestion, but I would like that looked at if Paul has.
I think we're going to close off the driveway that enters into the sheriff. Sure. We're also going to close the one at the far end of the annex. There's a driveway there that's going to be closed off.
That'll be less.
And then the entrance will be wider.
Yes,
so
somebody
two out, one
have
and, yeah.
To slow down way ahead.
Well, it'll be.
That would be good. Less.
With the speed limit 55, it would be nice if the state would give us a turn lane, but they're not going to. At least so far, they haven't agreed to. It certainly would help, because one of the things that you have to be careful pulling on, if you're pulling out to take a right turn, that's a 55 mile an hour road, and you could pass in that zone. It's not a double line zone, so going out of there, you got to be careful. I think Bob Vittingill had a problem with that once when he was actually going to make a left turn, the car passed him. So it's it has some problems, but they will solve a good part of it.
Sounds like it will.
Isn't this something that is essentially part of this building being built here? I mean, isn't it, shouldn't it be part of the construction project?
Yeah.
All right. So
we do have some funds left in there. We don't have 20,000 out of them.
Right. Well, I remember that some members of the board, you know, when this project was moving forward, said that, assured the public that, you know, this money wasn't coming out of fund balance to build a new highway garage, and it wasn't coming out, you know, to build the municipal center. It will not cost them anything. In fact, isn't that money part of the budget that we utilized after we raised revenues from taxes?
Right, but we didn't get $2.6 million in there either. We never got in there.
So in fact, it is going to cost the taxpayer something to finish this building.
Is it going to cost you? Actually, no. We can leave it mud, and that's fine as I'm concerned. I'm fine.
Well, I'm just trying to
do it. Either you do what's right or you don't do it. That's fine.
Well, what's right? You know,
taxpayers approved up to $2.6 million. We haven't spent that.
But we also told them when we raised from taxes.
Good. You tell them. I don't care.
I never told them that. Really?
I don't have a problem. You can tell us if
you are rude.
Either you fix it or you don't fix it. That's simple.
So if we create our own problems, we can just keep writing checks that the taxpayer is dying. It doesn't matter. We're not held accountable.
Well, you get to vote now.
I will.
Okay. If everybody votes no, we won't do it.
Well, I just, you're doing a disservice to our residents. We need, you know, come
okay.
Here.
But, does anyone want to make that motion?
And this is going to be the dry wells where the sheriff's department is.
What's that?
It takes care of the sheriff's department issues also, right? Water up there?
Yes.
Yeah, and our entrance and all that. I'd make the motion to go ahead with it.
I'll second it. I know I've heard several people complain about how they can't find the driveway. I followed someone tonight that was going very slow that didn't seem to be able to find the driveway. Yes, second.
Roll call.
Councilman Bittenville?
Yes.
Councilman Prendergast?
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Cluveniers?
No.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Yes. It's now time for the second 15-minute public comment period. Yes, Angela?
Hi, Jim, everybody. Thank you for giving my time. I'd also like to bring up the water issue. When we hired Casella's water company, I was wondering where was the warranty, where was the guarantee, where was to make sure that what they were doing in our homes was not going to affect us after they left our homes. I've spoken to you many times. I had over $6,000 worth of damages done to my home, which you did let a company come in to fix my property, but they cop-jobbed it. It's still a cop-job. I'm still getting water running into the side of my property. That's one issue. Number two, I've always was concerned on where the shut-off valve was blocked. It's too close to the road. When my neighbor had the garage sale, I had everybody pulling up in front of my house 2 inches from pulling on top of that shut-off valve. Mine wasn't placed in the safe zone like the rest of my neighbors. It was placed outside my split rail fence. It's really bad. Then we did have a gentleman, which I brought to your attention, came and stomped on the valve. When he stomped on the valve, he bent it. Now I have a shut-off valve that's bent, and I'm concerned because if I ever needed to go out to shut the water off, because they didn't do a very good job installing the water, I'm going to have issues in turning and shutting my water off out there. So if you look at the valve, it's bent, it's twisted, I got proof he did it. He should have been responsible in fixing that valve, but you dismissed my complaint to the police department on this person. So I'm still left with the damage. Then if you enter my house, Casella's engineer came into my home. He took several pictures of my home. It was a cop job. He even said right from the beginning, his employees did wrong. This violates codes.
Sure.
So then they had to come in. I had a leak-in. My husband's disabled. He can't walk down the basement. I do all the work. I do it. He kept saying, Angela, what are you emptying a bucket of water for? I said, because the gentleman unhooked the hose down there and set a bucket on top of my water tank. And it's dripping. So I came to you guys. I came to the engineer. They came in. They tried to fix it. Still, cop job. I took all these pictures. Then, as far as the copper, now, you did end up replacing the copper But when we hire a contractor, I was entitled to get contractor copper, not Lowe's. That's where my copper came, was Lowe's. I seen Jesse pick it up. I was standing next to Jesse. That's not what we paid for. If I wanted Lowe's copper in my house, I would have got it, hired a plumber, and done it myself. But we were under a contract with Crisell's, and this is where my concerns is. Other neighbors got water into their house, but they didn't hook up. They didn't have the property or the pipes 4 foot into the ground, so he came back and had me do it. I've been concerned on how mine is, because my basement was built in 1959. I'm counting the blocks in the basement, and I'm counting the top, and I'm just at the 4 foot level. The person that didn't have the water turned on in his house got a frost blanket put on his pipes. When you're giving certain materials to certain people, I was jealous. I was upset. I was frustrated. Why didn't I get a frost blanket? Why didn't I get them to come back and check out how they did the pipes? Why did I have to go to Crisell's engineer or their code enforcement and say, what do you think about the work you guys are doing in my home? It was devastating. And I come back at the beginning of spring because what the company did to fix my land got washed away. I was told, you're on your own, Ange. We hired these people to come in and fix it. Go handle it with them. So now I was arguing with them just about trying to take them to court for them to get back over the spring to fix the water because or the ground because my basement's being affected by runoff water, snow melt water. I'm getting impact on both sides. So I'm frustrated to say, where's our warranty? We paid good money to these people. You admitted it last time, Preston. I got a suitcase here full of all wrongs that the town has happened to my property, everything. But you admitted that Crisell's was a shady business and we needed to hold them responsible for their actions. We held a certain amount of money away from Crisell's to guarantee that any taxpayers that were affected by them would get their problems fixed. I look at my basement, I'm looking at it dripping. If I go and close it's a condensation. I'm embarrassed. I'm upset. I'm on my own. And I feel like we need to come to you guys. We didn't sign off on their job. We paid good money. Was there a warranty? Are we still in court with yourself? Did you finalize it and resolve that with all? Like I said, $6,000 just for my property. I got it documented. Four was fixing the ground.
I'm sorry.
You know, we can't let somebody walk in our
home. That's a good point, sir.
Just be quiet.
Okay,
nobody asked you.
You are. You're
done.
You are.
Just shut up. You know all about it. You don't like it.
Sounds like we got a problem here with this house. You guys do nothing.
Either quiet down or leave.
Wow.
I
want an agenda for the next meeting. Make it public.
I was disputing the water bill when it first got hooked up. You were billing me for 4 months. I did not have the water. It tells the date that I got the water hooked up. So when I came to you with a dispute and said, okay, first of all, I'm using extra water because now I have to water my land to replant the grass and the whole mess that the town let the contractor do, I'm using extra water. But when I wrote my dispute to you, I was waiting for a response. The only response I got was you took the water bill out of my escrow. You went into my escrow. I haven't paid you my check. You know how you're getting paid? You're going into my escrow and you're taking it.
I didn't go into your escrow.
I've got it written. It's gone. I never personally wrote each or any one of this town building a check for my water bill. My water bill's been paid. You want to know how it's been paid? Through my escrow.
That's because when you don't pay it automatically by state law goes into there, not what we do.
I was waiting for a courtesy response back with my dispute letter that I forwarded the town.
I thought we had that conversation. What happened was you got billed for a short period, which is a minimum fee, which is what the law, our policy is, and it's the rules. Everybody gets that.
I was being billed 4 months and I wasn't even hooked up. And then in my own area, out of say the six neighbors that are all adjacent close to me, I'm the only one who hooked up to water.
Okay.
Nobody else did.
Angela, your time is up. Thank you. We'll talk about what you got, if that's it.
I do have one request. You've mentioned a lot of issues. Would you be willing to just list them and submit them to the clerk so the board members can get a copy.
Oh, absolutely. I'm supposed to be.
But what issues that you're looking to have taken care of?
Oh, there's many in the beauty shop that I have. I contacted the president's secretary last week. My question to you board members, does President, can he make a decision without any of your approval? Because he's got a private meeting with me, Thursday, President, 10:30 meeting, right?
Yes, right.
Private meeting.
Bring the list with you.
Well, this is my concerns. Is it going to get me anywhere? Do you have the right to make a decision without the rest of the councilman or the town attorney present to... So what
I don't have a right to do that, no.
Okay, so I'm going to let the town officials know. There is a co-worker in this building who used the municipality machinery to discriminate and slander me. It's total lies. It's there for the public, and I have it. How can anybody in this building take the right to tarnish my reputation and state false allegations on a municipality CD? It's wrong. And it's got to be corrected. I can't be over this one person. This person has literally taken my documents and destroyed them, but yet they had them when they were being suspect. They came back into the picture. This guy, I've been arguing over the house. Come to find out, this house, we're in District 2. Now, they changed the district this okay. house is in. This
Angela,
house is now in District 1.
Angela, you can meet with us on Thursday and Mr.
Bittengill.
There will be two of us there.
I'd like to have witnesses.
We can't have three there because we'd have to have public meetings.
I think you need to talk.
What's that?
I got tons of documents here. I'm just
this is Lynn's time. Obviously, she and I are not the only ones who can sell. Bring it up, Preston. You're fine. Thanks. You're covering this all up.
I said.
It's going to come out. I'll tell you what.
Either quiet down or leave.
Why don't you leave? Do us all a favor.
I will in a short while. But if you want to leave
Preston,
now, leave. Otherwise,
we're here
quiet.
We're here as.
You're done.
Taxpayers. We're taxpayers.
Elizabeth?
We're here as a team to work it out and correct what needs to be correct. That's all.
Elizabeth, do you want to speak?
No, I can desire it.
Okay.
There's legit information, Rachel.
I have random questions, kind of cross-legged. With regards to what you wrote out here, the highway and things, you kept saying that 2.6 is never all been a number reserve fund. Why not?
Because the money wasn't there.
So you were in a town by a vote authorized up to 2.6 million, and that was coming out of where to that capital reserve fund?
It was authorized up to 2.6 million, yes. It was
coming from where then? Like, where was it coming from?
It was coming out of one capital project fund that had all the monies. $1.4 million went into the highway building fund. $1 million went into the maintenance reserve account that's required for landfill closure, and what was left went into the building fund for this building. I think at that time it was like 2.560 something, and then we earned some interest on that during the time period during construction and whatnot. So it's short on 17,000 maybe.
And what did you just approve to do this right here?
What's that?
What was the dollar amount that you just approved for this year?
What we just approved was to transfer money from...
No, the dollar amount.
Contingency fund.
What was the dollar amount?
$20,000.
So more than the 17 that we were short to the 2.6, right?
Well, I guess that's true, yes.
So the total, you're talking nickel and dime and things, but... The total then, I understand if it was short up to 2.6, if you were to move other monies from the capital reserve into the capital reserve for this, up to 2.6, that makes sense, because that's what the voters approved, up to 2.6. But what you just approved actually just brought the total to more than 2.6 that the voters approved, is that correct?
It all depends on how you look at it.
It's a yes or no.
We can do work every week here at this building using budgeted funds to do work in our building.
No, but this is the capital reserve fund for the creation of this facility. So did it, yes or no, bring that total to more than 2.6 then?
I think if you ask the controller that question, they can give you better an answer than I can.
I think you would have a better answer than you would have.
you a bookkeeper by...
What's that?
Aren't you a bookkeeper by trade? I mean, it seems like you should know all that. I would know all that. I'm
just asking because if, I mean, up to 2.6, that makes sense because that's the voter taxpayers approved up to 2.6, so that makes sense. I would have a problem with that if it was going to the capital reserve. But what was just approved then actually just brought it greater than that 2.6 than the town approved. So that was my
that's
question.
Right. Well, we have, an option to do required maintenance for people to make access safe here or not do it. That's our option. We can do that with budgeted funds if they're there. Now, if you want to say that's a violation of the approval, I have no idea. All I'm saying is we're talking about keeping people safe coming in and out of this project. We're talking about providing a safer situation for the sheriff because they have a problem in the spring with you know, ice and mud and frozen stuff because of the frost. I mean, that's where we're at.
I don't disagree with it, but since you brought up the fact that the account was short of the 2.6, I thought I would just follow up and ask the question because you were the one that brought up the table and said, well, we can approve this because we were short of the 2.6. Well, in actuality, you just went over that 2.6.
No, I'm not saying that that's all. We could use, we have, right now I think there's somewhere around $8 million in the fund and there may be another 10 either we put back or we don't put back. That we paid for moving expense, which probably wasn't legal for a capital project. And then we would have maybe 18, but we still wouldn't have 20. Our problem is either we fix it or we don't fix it. That's pretty simple. I mean, anybody that wants to, you know, I mean, next year they can make a huge political issue out of it. I could care less. My job is public safety, and that's about it. That and paperwork. That's what we do here.
Other question
I just
want to
comment. I just want to comment on that because I don't know if that was directed.
Not directed your way, no.
I'm making a factual statement. No.
Mr. Superman.
That was not directed at you.
Well, make a statement anyway.
Because, you know, we can spin it any way you want. We want to have public safety. But we wouldn't have a public safety issue if we didn't build this building here and we managed to put, you know, a plan in place on how we're going to build it, how we're going to accomplish it, and how much it's going to cost. And it's not, that was my only point. I mean, we exceeded the authority of what...
I agree.
So that's all. Right. So, you know, it's unfair to spin it as a little political statement when all I raised was a legitimate factual question.
I didn't say, I said if anybody wants to, they could. I didn't say you. Yes.
Does the sheriff department pick anything towards that too, since somebody is in the same driveway?
What's that?
Will the sheriff's department help out with the process at all? Or will you ask them? The sheriff's department, will you ask them for any money for the driveway?
Well, the sheriff's department, we basically provide the building for them. We don't pay the county anything. There's a couple of the municipalities that pay for additional road patrol and stuff. We don't. And we have pretty much 24/7 protection by either two or three, depending on which day of the week it is. Yes, Reed.
The Saratoga Economic Development Corporation, you signed a contract. What are they going to try to do for us? You never really explained what their purpose is with this contract. I mean, you had a contract with them previously, nothing happened. We had a period of nothing with them, now we have a contract with them. What's the goal for them, and what are they going to do for us?
I missed half of what you said.
The economic, you just signed a contract.
Okay.
What are they going to do for us? When you have a contract, there's something bound to one another.
First of all, the contract has no direct cost for us.
What are they supposed to do?
They're an economic development company. Their job is to try and bring companies like they brought Global Foundries in primarily in this county, which create a lot of jobs. Their goal is to try and bring jobs here. And currently, the way we're structured, we own half the lots, and this LLC owns half the lots. It's made up of three individuals. They own half the lots that they bought from National Grid. So, and we have separations, and we have paper roads, and we have all kinds of issues that make it difficult for development and for So one of the things they'd like us to do, we haven't talked about yet, we talked about it last week, was, or 2 weeks ago, was that we, if we merge these, then we have one site, we can expedite construction projects if for a company if it wants to come in and they want to start in 90 days, that we could probably accomplish that with, through planning, assuming everything's right, and have some of it prepared in advance. For example, maybe we could prove a 250,000 square foot building, take it before planning. They still have to come back and go through the process, but we could accelerate the process. And
thank you.
And they'll make a commission on sales, okay, which is negotiable on every project.
And I just want to look at the discussion, the past violation of home business. You mentioned there's 26 to 27 possible violations. Is that, why is the, I guess the pertinent question is, why is that such a high number? Was the code enforcer not paying attention? I mean, he's been this job for many, many years.
That
why
was a list.
Why has it gotten that large number?
I can read the list to you. It was a list that submitted. Five of them were in the village. Several of them were in districts 3, 4, and 5. It fit the law and didn't need to do anything. There were three or four home businesses that were approved by the zoning variance, and there were two or three daycare centers, which are, we don't regulate. They're regulated by Department of Health. So, in effect, there were probably, there's only two that we have that we're aware of on that list that are right now subject review and possibly whatever that we have to do.
Okay. Who is the person responsible for the entrance, the town sign by exit 17? Whoever done it has done an extraordinary job. It's gorgeous. You come in, you see it's nice, been landscaped beautifully. Who's responsible mm-hmm. for that?
That was Bob Vittinger.
You, yourself?
He did it. Nice. He planted it himself. Yeah.
So, tip of the hat.
And tulips in
yes.
the spring.
Yes, I look forward to seeing
250.
One of our questions was regarding the home business situation, making sure that the accuracy of the status of those home businesses appropriate and consistent. I found some on here that just it doesn't seem to jive with the zoning regulations. We provided a list even to my attorney officials to take a look at and see if I was just missing something wrong. And I can pass that out that there's some daycares and whatnot that are listed that say they are said to be okay and non or don't need a permit for, even though there's no specific information in the zoning regulations that says that they can be there. Back at some of the previous zoning meetings, he's actually quoted saying that daycares are, an occupation that kind of need to have a permit in the residential zone. So, the big thing that we want to make sure is that, okay, they are providing the status, but we want to make sure that accuracy of that status is appropriate to really find some
sure.
inconsistencies here.
Well, this first comment about kids being kids daycare and peace of mind daycare, those are regulated by Department of Health, not by town.
Sorry. Regulated meaning how they operate?
But the one that authorized them, yes, and we have no control over that under state law.
But if a home, I'm sorry, I'm talking about curiosity. If our town, let's just go opposite street, if the town of Moreau says no home businesses are allowed in the town of Moreau, period,
mm-hmm.
then you cannot operate a business out of your home. Regardless of whether the Department of Health regulates that you have to have your shoes on, you have to have, this much fenced in yard and this and that, regardless of what the requirements are for the Department of Health for that, if the municipality doesn't allow for that within the confines of our town, then isn't it irrelevant as to what the Department of Health has for their regulations if a certain business isn't allowed within the confines of town?
Carly,
how does that work? Carly, did you want to ask me?
You're flipping it around.
Okay.
And I spoke to Matt earlier today, asking him if he was going to join us tonight, so he did advise about the daycare issues. I did not speak to Joe about them, about those particular issues. In response to your question, if the town's allowed to have laws that are stricter
yes.
than the state law, if the town says no daycares, And the state law says you can do a daycare. The state law will say you can do a daycare if the town lets you do a daycare. What you're saying is you're flipping it around the other way. And
but does the state say you can have daycare if the town allows you
to? I don't know what the state says.
Okay.
I haven't looked at that.
Okay, so that's what I was asking. So if the state, I understand the whole, you know, broader law, stricter law, within the confines, you go down to the size of the municipality, that makes no sense. But I'm just wondering if the state has their certain rules for it, but if it's not allowed within the confines of the town, you can't have a whole business in a town.
I don't know what it was.
That's what the state says.
I don't know what it was, the Office of Children and Family Services. I don't know their regulations off the top of my head. If the board directs me to look into that, I'm happy to do so.
Okay. I just wasn't sure if it was the other way around. Out of curiosity, where is Joe Bassett? I've been to the last couple of town board meetings. There's code questions. There's obviously water questions and other code questions and code enforcement questions. Why is he not here?
Well, basically, if we mandate him to be here, we have to pay him overtime.
He's not here, right? He was on the agenda.
What's that?
This home-based business thing was on the agenda. He couldn't be here tonight to answer all these questions.
I don't know where he is.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't know if this gentleman here was making you work for the.
To answer your question.
He's here. Is he being paid to be here?
Little. To answer your question about department heads being here, this board has always had a policy that department heads be here. I have never been here when that policy changed. I do miss meetings on a rare occasion. They could happen when I wasn't here. But that, as far as I know, that is the policy.
It's not talking about the state of New York laws that regulate overtime for salaried people, and if they're mandated to work hours, then you have to pay them. If they're not mandated, if they have to answer an accident or an emergency, they don't get paid for that. But if they're mandated to do something, you get paid. We have to pay our water superintendent to work Saturdays and Sundays because we have to mandate him to read the meters and do testing, which is required by law. And Bob Prendergast brought that up because the state law that he knows he dealt with because of his daughter company, which he was with at one time. And essentially, that's why we pay overtime to our water superintendent, because we're required to by law. And any other employee, if we mandate them to be at these meetings, then they would get paid.
But if a department has a request, I remember very clearly going to lots of meetings at the old town hall with the rec director and the assessor and the code enforcement officer and the highway superintendent and everybody else. And if they wanted, they had a request, they had to show up with their three quotes, and just because it's a state contract doesn't necessarily mean everything in the world. And everybody was always at those meetings. It was like Reed, me, a couple people, and all the department heads. And I'm coming to meetings here, and you know, I've been busy, you know, I haven't been to a lot of meetings, but every time I come, the one very noticeable absence is every department head.
Okay.
I mean, isn't it helpful that if you have town meetings and you have taxpayers and we vote and we pay and we have questions, and this is where we come, this is the forum where we come and ask questions of all of you, because this is the forum, not a one-on-one meeting, why is it that we can't get educated responses at town board meetings?
Good question. There's time. Yeah, it's been about 25 minutes, okay. So 15 minutes is up. You can ask those questions at the next meeting.
I only got 10.
There's up to Matt on the phone today. You never can give a straight answer.
Yeah. How come I only got 10 minutes? You got 15. That's not fair. You have to treat all your taxpayers fairly.
I
do have a question unrelated to my water thing.
Before we move on, I do have a question. When we just received a handout, my question to the council on the daycare facilities. Do we require, as the town of Moreau zoning board or any board, require a special use permit for them?
I don't know right now. I don't have it off on my computer's dead and I can't plug it in.
I actually have some minutes from May of this year where in a zoning meeting you say that the daycares require a special use permit.
They do.
They do.
And Joe was at that
meeting. Joe was at the meeting. It says, I just pulled a couple of lines from it. It says, office. It was about something different, about whether a different building can be used for daycare or something else. And it said, office space is larger than what they would need, and they might rent some of that out. R1 means that only daycare is permitted use with a special permit, but there isn't a demand for daycare in that area. So you're considering other uses. And saying that daycare could be a new special permit.
Okay.
I guess, Heather, what I can do is I will talk with Matt tomorrow. I emailed him back and forth this afternoon to get more specifics about the daycare. Again, I just got this, so.
It's not even about daycare. Let's look at all the other dog grooming places. Why are they not using a special use permit?
I did speak to him about at least two of those. So, I mean, I'm happy to respond to you, but I can't do it without an attorney present because you've already here in litigation with us. So I can't speak to you outside this meeting without your attorney present.
Can I ask a question? Can you answer me? Why other dog grooming businesses have to have? Why other businesses don't need a special use permit? Why not others?
It depends on which district they're in.
Those are dogs, not farm animals.
It depends on which district they're in.
We have a code enforcement that decides to change any residence to any district that seems to fit.
Exactly.
I have it right here.
Well,
with all the
I just have a request. This is a contentious issue. It's not going to go away. And I know there's additional requests before the town seeking information. Can we, before department heads, send it out, just have council review to make sure that it's accurate?
Review the list?
Whatever department is putting out to residents to make sure. If it has a potential for involving litigation, can it be reviewed by council before it goes out? Because it sounds like there might be some misinformation or wrong information that came out.
There's a lot of wrong information.
Well, I think we can take care of that issue if it's reviewed by council.
Well, I think, I don't know about the special use issue, but I know every town code has different
right.
So we have to deal with that.
So can we at least on this issue have council review before it goes out?
Okay.
May I?
Time for committee.
Oh, I got a question. I'm related to the water issue.
Question.
That is 5 minutes in public.
The public speaking is over. It's
15
minutes.
Over.
It's 15. It's been 35 minutes.
Okay. Question. So what's wrong with you?
You have to speak for the same amount of time.
Yeah, so cut me off at 10 and let them talk at 15. Get yourself a grip.
We're going to go on with the meeting. What we're going
to
do?
I came to the town because you have more knowledge than I do, and you're here to protect me. I came to our code enforcement with tons of information, with a court order, saying nobody be on this 12 foot but the Wadsworths. Clearly, the court order I have was looked at this and thrown down, and they continued to build and do what they wanted to do. I went through the Supreme Court. He didn't like it. I went through the appellate division. It's taken me 7 years to prove that I've been right, but I've been waiting for my town to back me up to say, okay, Ange. So in the meanwhile, that all this is done, Preston, I'm looking at our code enforcement saying, please, we have water issues. I have, and it's already been documented, I live at the bottom of Route 32. The water comes down Route 32, the snow melt, rainwater, always went across my driveway, always ended up into the vacant lot next to me. So what did they do? They turned around and graded all the land my way, put a swale 200 feet length of my property. The rain gutters that he's got on his house, it's piped into a ground, all piped in, all heading right to my property. I got flooded out. I'm being flooded out. This was the first bad winter we've had since this house has been here. And I couldn't even put my car. My car's been storage in that garage since 97. I had to move it out. I'm devastated. It was flooded. I got 3 feet of water. I'm standing there, and it's all on my leach field. So much was wrong. I came to the town zoning board. I said, what happens if a contractor comes in with all these dimensions, gets special permits, gets variants, gets all this, and come to find out he never had all these dimensions? What happens? I was asked to leave. When I left, this is what he made. Now, this was crucial. This is a big devastation of my home. This meant a lot to me. I didn't expect my town code enforcement to say 6 years later, oh, I made a mistake. This house is not in District 2. It's now in District 1. Here's a map. I don't live in District 1. I don't have adjacent land next to me.
You're in 1 or District 1?
District 1. Residential District 1.
You're
one. Now, I have an engineer report that this contractor did, okay? He was handed wrong dimensions. He was even handed wrong district. Because now the code enforcement decided to change the district. So then when I got this letter, I was asked to leave the meeting. Joe was very rude, so I did. I'm not rude, I obeyed. That document, when I asked him if Freedom Foil didn't have enough information, so I requested an audio. Audio, we got our code enforcement, again, slandering me, telling the audio woman not to add me to this meeting. It's all on here. There's the date, Quebec. I talked to you and Terry about this, what our meeting's about, but I don't think it's going to resolve just me and you. It's got to take a whole family of us to resolve and correct these issues. If I got a code enforcement, I trust his ability to protect and do it for all. We got a mess up there. I had an engineer there today. With the water running off, if I go and fix that swale that's the whole length of my property, you know where that water's going to run into? The people's well water, because see, they didn't get water hooked up when they came down through because they didn't have the dimensions and they couldn't hook it up on my property because I wasn't going to let them. So now I have a swale the whole 200 feet of my property. If I go in and I fill that topsoil up and fill that swale, where do you think that water's going to run? It's going to run to these people's basement and it's going to run to their well water. This should have already been fixed, talked about, and designed before a house was built. It's going to affect us. Well, I didn't want to fight with my neighbors. I just want to look peaceful. I can't even put a fence up because if I do, it's going to cause mildew and mold to their house.
I think as far as the road, we have to deal with DOT because it's a state road.
This should have been done.
It's a state road. They have to do it.
No, the state's saying it's up to you. Town. I talked to Miss Sally. I have talked
to
everybody.
We don't even have the right to touch any state road without their permission.
No, but when it came over to the Jason land, it was up to the code enforcement to make sure that an engineer made sure that that water was not going to just affect one person. What they did is they, and I got it all documented. Okay. They all pushed it to my way. It's not fair.
You know, we'll go over this on Thursday, and if you don't want me there, you can pick somebody else to be there. I don't care.
I would like all the board members there because it's all of our decisions.
You can't.
It's
not going to happen.
So
it's a public meeting. We can have two people there.
Who will come to say, I have a private meeting with you? Are we going to say, okay, Joe, you did wrong. You really made messed up. Or Joe, you're only making certain codes obey, but other codes are not. There's something that's leaking. I got pictures.
Every time you talk about that deed, you got to remember that they never approved either one of those properties that were done. What the approval was is the other guy didn't show up when he closed the case. And it's very clear in the document what he did. He gave you got control of adverse possession of the land.
Exactly.
Never approved
well,
it was yours.
Go to the aerial variance pictures, go back to when they first started it. That line's never changed. Way back in 04 to 98
to 66.
What
the decision
never
was.
Changed. I didn't pull the pins out of Route 32. Those pins are in the blacktop out in the main road, and they've always been documented. That's
Where
the line's
always
been. We're
going to go out of the now, okay? We'll talk to you Thursday.
What do we do about this audio that one of our...
We'll listen to it and report it to the rest of the board.
It's already been out in the public. I want it removed out of this building. I want it pulled. I don't think that my name should...
We're not going to listen to it tonight. We're going to go on with the finish this meeting.
I got a question. Unrelated to water, believe it or not. I went by here... Sorry to interrupt the meeting. I went by the Taj Mahal a couple weeks ago and the lights were all out. Was there a reason for that? I mean, no lights out there. Burning millions of dollars of electricity. Unbelievable. I think it's a part of the but there was dark back there. It was your next door. Was there a reason for that?
What building?
This one, the Taj Mahal.
When was it?
Last week, the week before.
There's a power went out on Park Falls Road, which put the timers off.
Okay.
Didn't allow the lights to come on.
Just checking. Is there any way they can reduce some lights to save us energy costs?
Do you have any committee reports?
That's typical, no answer.
I have another question. Route 32 and Reservoir Road is a bad intersection. I've lived in my house for 23 years. I've witnessed accidents that will shock you. I've witnessed deaths down there. Is there anything that we can do flashing lights so people know when you're coming across Reservoir Road? It don't have to be a red light. I don't want a red light because I want a bunch of people out in front of my house. But West Mountain Road has stopped.
That's an item that we have in the supervisor item to request DOT to install a flashing light.
It's something to talk about to save a life.
What's going to be the third or fourth time we request it? We're going to request it again based on we've had a couple deaths in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
The accident that happened there this last week.
Yeah.
If there had been a passenger in the car, they wouldn't have lived.
Correct.
Yeah.
I witnessed an elderly woman die in front of me, and it's not the first one. Like I said, it's terrible.
The town.
It's got to be fixed.
The town is going to install
a flashing light on each of the signs that say stop ahead on Reservoir Road.
So,
and we're just going to go ahead and do that, but the Route 32 is the state's, and we're going to hopefully this time convince them that enough people got hurt there, and we don't need more people to die there.
So. These are local people that have died, too, right on Reservoir Road.
They live right on the street, I know.
Yeah, so I think just the way the road is that comes out of 32, it's just a bad visual, and nobody realizes there's an intersection. And before you know it, everybody's hitting each other 40, 50 miles an hour. It's bad. So I'm asking the town to not put a light, I don't want to stop it out from my house, but on the traffic, because it's bad enough. But something to notify there's an intersection.
Okay. You have anything, Jim?
Some of the gardeners have requested, they're going to have a garden cleanup day this coming Saturday. They've requested, can they fill out an application for 2015 for a bed at this point? Does anyone have a problem with that?
I don't.
Okay. And the other thing is, I have called and left messages twice with the fire department about the budget, but I have not heard back from them. I've heard that Beanie Bruce and Mike Shaver are somehow involved in the fire department, so I thought I would reach out to them. I haven't heard back from any comment, so.
We meet with them.
I don't know who we meet with this day.
I think all the meetings are this week.
We
have a different
Tuesday, Wednesday, or Wednesday and Thursday.
Wednesday and Thursday.
It was back in September. I called them.
I think they're either Wednesday or Thursday night. I'm not sure. Any other committee
items? Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, the meeting, there was a public hearing on the Kendall Library public budget, and we actually had good attendance. You know, there have been some years when nobody else shows up. Yeah. So
Reed had company this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last year, the building wasn't open. So this year, the building was open.
So, it's, the paper did a nice article.
Good. Thanks. Supervisor's items. The first item I had is on health insurance. A friend and I met with five different brokers, and every one of them was basically CDPHP, which we're already at. Then we're looking at probably about a 30% increase in insurance costs. Fortunately, we've saved money over the last 3 years from going to major insurance, so that we have some funds to help out with that. But that's really where we're at, to maintain basically the same benefits that we've been providing employees. But no matter what you do, I mean, every case goes in that direction at this point. I think CDPHP was very inexpensive the last 3 years, and now they're charging about the same as everybody else. And the question was, is, you know, Fran and I really had it down to probably two brokers, our current broker, and one other broker who really presented the plan that we probably should adopt. And so the question is, does the board want to meet with those two to listen to them? And we can bring them in at the next meeting for executive session. And at that point, I will give you a copy of for what we have on it and what the cost is and what we're looking at. The next item is the court gave me this JCAP application late today, so it didn't make the schedule. It's $7,922 requested for various equipment, file cabinets, chairs, and furniture lectern. I'm asking for approval of the board to sign this agreement, and I will sign it so they can file this tomorrow. We have to get it in. I just have to sign their application.
They're looking for a lectern?
For here, yeah.
Was it like in the corner somebody stands at and presents to?
Right. Well, I figured it's something potentially we could use if we go to a sound system.
Yeah, we've got the floor anyway.
Yeah. Next item, just for everybody's information, Central County Fire Advisory Board is having a meeting on October 25th at 9 a.m., which is a Saturday. It's called Fire 101 Training. It's just kind of to update us on what they do, what issues they're facing. I plan on attending. I don't know if anybody else wants to go. I just want you to know that it's an open meeting. It'll be down at Saratoga County, where the the animal shelter is in jail. Development down there. No, Paul is in Albany. He didn't know if he was going to get back in time. And one of the questions I had with him is, I've had a couple of complaints from people on Sweeter Road, Sweeter Lane, where we used that microsurf with fiber for the first time. And it's a lot of loose stone in the road. I discussed that with Paul. He said that he would be sweeping that and it should take care of the problem. The people that are concerned, it's pretty bumpy right now, and they've had some kids fall off their bicycles because of all the loose stone on the road. So it's something, if Paul's not here to discuss it, but certainly we have 3 weeks that we're scheduled to use this on next year in the budget, and there's another one to do this year. I think we ought to make sure that we're comfortable with what's happening there. We already talked about the Gansworth Road, Reservoir Road item, which I'm going to get together with Gene to send in something, try and get some extra language in. Meanwhile, I'm Paul looking for these lights that we will install on those deuces. Probably an eighth of a mile before you get to the intersection, there's a sign that says light ahead and has a big red circle on it that we're going to put flashers on.
Now, Preston, can we cut back on Route 32 too to open up the line of sight a little better? Like if you're facing east on Reservoir, that bank's pretty close. We're not allowed to cut back on the state road, are we? We can do Reservoir, but not 32
for line of sight. The problem is at the intersection because it's intercepts at the state.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you drive that road, you can see the visibility issues very clearly. That when you're coming into on both sides, there's a hill shortly before you get there. It really takes the vision of Route 32 right away. You don't even see it. If you're going east on Reservoir Road, the stop sign is virtually blocked partially by trees and always has been. And I understand why it couldn't be positioned a little more. We have a very similar stop sign on Butler Road coming out the Route 9. Right. That's way off to the right and not closer to the intersection. So that one we can move. I think both of them probably can move. And I'm going to talk to Paul about what he can do and where he can put them. So there's no reason. It's a wide open area. That sign could be farther over where it's more visible. But I think it's only the real answer is the flashing light over the road, because then you're really there. I mean, I know that the young lady that was in that accident today actually was my niece. And she, fortunately, I don't know how she got out of that the way she did, but she got banged up and had a couple of broken bones. And she has her only memories. She said she stopped at a stop sign and she doesn't remember anything after that. So whether she stopped and didn't see the car or whether she actually didn't stop, I don't know. But that was her statement.
Even if you stop and try to creep out, if you're coming off Reservoir Road and you stop to creep out on Route 32, and you try to say if you're making a right to head back up my way, it's still a visual problem. And I'm in a truck that I can see, but there's somebody on here.
It's always been a terrible intersection, no question about it.
They speed on 32.
Yeah.
They're never there at 45.
Well, we're going to do everything we can to that. We're going to do some things ourselves, but we really need to get the state to step up. And you know, we've lost 2 lives there in the last 5 years. And it's amazing we didn't lose one last week in that accident. I mean, if you look at the picture of that car, it was, you know, where the door goes in, the front door, I mean, it's like this.
You're
it's a
V. You're heading to turn paths, 140, 145, 50, so yeah, it's going to be devastating.
Even a blinking light that we have at the corner of 9 and 32.
Yeah.
Where 32 comes out of the 9, well, one's blinking yellow, one's blinking red. Just to remind people,
give them knowledge that, hey, there's something up above you need to
Route 32 is a terrible road from Clark Road all the way past Reservoir Road. I mean, we had the same problems on Route 32. We've had deaths twice at Peter Road intersection. It's the same thing. The speed limit's too fast.
Right.
If you drop the speed limit from 55 to 45, it would take you an extra 3 seconds to get to Route 197. And it's like,
mine is 45, isn't it?
What's that?
What about?
No,
it's 55 for
from the light stop is 55.
It's 55.
But the thing is, if you drop the speed limit on 32, it's not going to stop the idiots in the jacked up pickup trucks, nor is it going to stop the guys doing wheelies the straightaway from just north of my house where the curb comes up. It goes a straightaway just past Mount Road. And one day my kids are going to witness someone die in front of my house because they pop wheelies at night. They're good at it.
Yeah.
They go all the way to really good. They go all the way down, and they do it all over the place.
Yeah.
That scares me.
And that's what they don't care. The
drivers are going to go 50-60, and my heart goes right in my throat, and another car doesn't come off the road.
And welcome a trooper in my driveway any day.
Okay, one more item on the executive session that was discussed at House on Blueberry Road that we talked about 2 weeks ago. At this point, I found out the price would be $229,000. It's 4.68 acres. And it's something.
Which house is on Blueberry Road?
It's the one that it's a couple houses to the left if you're looking at the school, second house to the left. He was looking at, I think Harry looked at that for a second entrance to the park, closed Jan entrance to the park, I think, years ago. The woman that had owned it didn't want to sell it, apparently, you know.
Does the town have
away.
A survey of the rec park property?
What's that?
Does the town have yet a survey of the entire rec park property as one piece yet? Mr. Benville and I said on the rec commission we have to ask for it and never got it for him, but someone's got it yet.
I'll have to check on that. I think we have an old survey on the original park, and I think
the I'm talking about the whole park.
And I think the 59 acres that we bought, we had a survey on that, but I'm not sure. I know there was a survey on the end, but maybe it should be redone at some point. That's something this board can look at.
Is the town going to go ahead with the master plan? Are you just going to keep going piecemeal on that and things just go along without a plan?
Right. Well, this is just something we potentially, that I think Gina brought up a couple of weeks ago that we could look at this house. And I think we'll go there, whether or not we want to do it or not.
Well, it's it's an opportunity we should really look carefully
at. Fortunately, we just got the money that we got for William Street, too, so, which would more than cover it. So,
I mean, it gives you the potential to establish another way for egress. You know, if you ever, with the number of people that use that park on the weekend, if there was ever a catastrophic event or something where people had to get out of there, it would be tough to get them out of there. So that's worth looking at. Are you going to the executive session now?
I don't know.
I just wanted to bring up one item and done. You know,
yep.
The Bauman property, I brought it up at the last board meeting on September 30th. I know that your office, I think, was getting quotes from three.
We had one come in today, I know.
Okay.
They'll
be looking for.
She had the copy put down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have. I think she sent out maybe five requests. That's the only one I'm aware of at this point. There may be others I haven't seen yet.
So are we, is it the board's intention once we get those prices to wrap this up?
I think we've already sent, Carl's already sent a letter to them that we were going to do this. We are going to do this. And we'll take it out of their, it'll come out of the retainage.
Okay, good. They'll be, I know they're anxious to.
Does anybody have anything for executive session?
Can I ask you one more time, John? I'll ask
you. If not, take a motion to close the meeting.
So moved.
Can I put myself on
for
the agenda for the next meeting?
Yeah, what's your question?
My two questions tonight, and I will walk away. Number one, we have a problem with this municipality take. What do we do with the person that has tarnished my name and continues to pull records, hide records, and then pulls them back out when he needs them? We need to discuss this man's position and the consequences of doing things above this type of thing wrong. What do we do? That's one question. How do we resolve that? Do we let him continue to tarnish me in his position? Or do we correct him and tell him, you've over the steps your boundary lines?
Well, that's one question we can't discuss in public session because it's unlawful for us to discuss our employees in public.
Okay. So where do we go from there?
Are you going to have that tape? Are you going to have that CD with you Thursday?
Yes. What was that about?
Are you going to have the tape or the CD with you Thursday?
Yes.
At your meeting.
Preston, you should already have a two-tier rooftop. Yes, but I'll have mine. Yes.
Well, there'll be a board member there with the supervisor. If he hasn't heard it, play it then. He can report back to the board what's on there if there's a concern.
Perfect. Thank you for giving me instruction. My next question, and then I'll leave. Christelle, did we resolve the lawsuit or the issues that we had with it? Did we pay him in full and then let him walk away? Or is that still pending?
That's still pending because, it's not in our hands. It's in our insurance company's hands. That's why we have them. I can't deal with those issues. Our attorney deals with all those issues, and that's not what I do. I can't do that.
Is there
any more issues
with your case that month?
Is there any more issues with the Sal that we all need to know about, or are you going to cover it up? Can you tell us how many there is? Carla, that's for you.
I'm going to answer Angela because she asked first.
Okay. That
was a moment. Right now, the insurance companies are working on the one claim that has been filed, and that's Mr. Clark's claim. Mr. Clark indicated earlier that he has to attend a 50H hearing. That's because he brought a claim against the town. People want to, that's how it works, to present a claim, an actual claim, and then it goes to the insurance company. The insurance company then contacts the Sal's insurance company. It's out of our hands. I'm not even insurance counsel for that because the insurance company gets their own account. So right now, it's been said, I think, quite a bit by the supervisor, the insurance companies are involved at this stage. It's not that the town board isn't doing anything. It's that the town board's hands are tied because the insurance company is in charge of it.
Correct. Okay, when that was first hit, I did it before. I did a claim. It was there. It was everything that was wrong with my home. Even their information, does that get passed to the insurance company? So because I never signed off on nothing, not even the lady, even though they fixed it.
I don't know how to love job. With respect to your specific claim, I have never personally seen a notice of claim.
That's where it should be because I had to get involved with my water bill. And then before getting an answer, that's when I'm going to turn down an answer. So I'm kind of like,
and I don't know
where to go. I'm trying to get an answer. How to happen, where to go, how to correct it. It's still there, it's still affecting.
You know what I know.
How much? No, I'm saying that now. I know what I'm saying. No.
See, the lady people are getting vicious.
No, I didn't mean it that way.
I would like to know why the town doesn't back as taxpayers and say the insurance company, here's this proof. Nobody's seen my pictures. Nobody's asked. I've had a video adjuster come in.
Your Sal's got a bucket full of pictures.
Look at this out. He took down the King Jules thing down there. There's a video. Okay? Read the comments from the taxpayer down in that area. Three stooges. You guys hired a really screwed up company. You guys really need to stand behind the taxpayer with the insurance company. You got to back up people. There's more than just her and I out here.
Running a backhoe is he did come in and hooked my plumber up. He was a jack of all trades but had no skills.
The guy that did the plumbing at night ran his own blacktop service, okay? Go over to Joe's over the English Village, talk to Joe. Really, I get the story. I don't think Joe's going to be lying. Mm-hmm. We talked for 2 hours, Preston. The next day I went and saw it. The guy stole one of his employees. Did they fire an employee? When I worked for a forklift dealership, they had a guy going to Price Chopper, stole a pack of cigarettes. What they told him? Either get rid of him or you're done doing business with us.
He fired the two people. They got fired that went into Ace and Stone. They did.
Are we sure they didn't come in my properties? I'll be honest with you. They cut a piece of pot.
Your house was done towards the end. They were gone long before then.
Okay, well, I'll tell you. There's a piece of copper they cut out of my house that's 5 feet long with an elbow. I wanted to retain it in case I ever want to hook my well back up.
Yeah.
Okay? Next thing I know, it's not down cellar anymore. It's all behind my house. I didn't put it there. Okay?
Yeah. I have a motion to call the waiting for somebody.
I'll make it.
Second. Roll call, Leanne.
Yeah, my comment is super easy.
Yes.
Councilwoman LeClaire?
Yes.
Councilman Kukinier?
Yes.
Councilman Bentengill?
Yes.
Supervisor Jenkins?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. And I apologize for my team.
What do I hit here?
Upper right.